Excuse us.
Pardon me, ma'am.
Sorry.
Move it, asshole.
Oh, thank God. We got good seats.
Damn right we did. What's up? We got the drinks.
We got the popcorn.
And the candy.
I think we're ready, man.
Hey, guys. Sorry I'm late. The bathroom here is nuts.
Oh, my God. You made it. Yay.
It's about time, Nathan. Bam.
Shh. The movie's starting.
I'm Nathan Simmons, and it's time to cut out the podcast.
And I played a psychic in an episode of a cop show, and they said it's a real thing.
I'm Mally. This is the show. Let's fucking get on with it.
Hey.
Great way to end the season, gotta say.
We are hardly making it through the finish line.
We are limping across. It's almost like we've got broken legs, broken arms. Everything's backwards.
Sure.
Going across this finish line.
And it's almost like I've been drinking wine since we started recording the last episode.
Oh, a week ago. About a week ago.
A full week.
Oh, man. Fellas, we made it.
We sure did.
Not only is this the final episode of this season, but we're finally talking about the big one, Malignant. We're here.
Malignant. That's how I say it.
Jesus Christ. I thought about it earlier. I was like, this is how I should introduce the episode. I should just say it like that.
Malignant.
But we made it, fellas. We're here. This is the final episode of the season.
Well, I was James Wan's muse when he wrote Malignant.
Oh, boy.
To steal a joke I've already made.
This is going to be a off the rails episode. I can already tell.
I'm terrified because I've covered this on another podcast, and I'm 90% sure I've almost put the exact same notes down. So let's fucking go, boys.
But you didn't cover that episode. Gabriel covered that episode.
That's right. So it wasn't me. Gabriel makes me strong.
This is a totally new... Gabriel's been feeding off all your fetuses to make himself stronger.
I'm also looking at the wrong notes, and I was like, when does Gabriel say, I think I prefer just the oyster?
Oh, boy. All right. So, Malignant.
Good start.
Okay. So, for those who don't know, when we pick the season, we always pick the first episode together and the last episode together.
That's right.
And first episode of the season is always an Aronofsky. Mm-hmm. And that tradition may be coming to an end real soon. Mm-hmm. But we always try to pick like a big movie for the finale. And I wanted to steer clear of horror just because we keep doing horror movies. But there was no question that we had to talk about Malignant. Like, it was just... It was the first movie we suggested to amongst each other. We're like, yeah, we're not going to top that. So,
I think I said this earlier this season. This was probably my favorite movie of 2021.
Jesus. Me and Mally kept telling you, Nathan, this movie is made for you.
This show, you kept telling me, and I kept pushing it off until Ashley and I covered it. I don't know, that's a scary movie. And then I was like furious that I'd missed it in the theaters. Like, I wish I had seen this with an audience.
Oh, buddy. Well, so here's the thing. This is a very divisive movie.
Sure.
And I
can't imagine why.
I could not tell you, but if I had to make a guess.
A lot of critics talking out of both sides of their head on this one.
Absolutely. Well, I think nice. It's interesting that this movie has a 76% Rotten Tomatoes score for critics and a 52% for audiences.
Interesting.
Which is almost perfectly down the middle, right?
Right.
Like, I can get why you don't like this movie.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, there's that. But if you can't see the forest through the trees on this movie, maybe that's the reason why you're not enjoying it. And I'm not going to sit here on a high pedestal and tell you you're not watching the movie right. But I'll say this. Priscilla and I have seen this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it once by myself. She watched it once by herself. She hated it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And on this rewatch, she caught the last like 20 minutes with me. And she was like, this movie's so fucking stupid. I hate it. And I'm like, but do you get it? Like, do you get the point of the movie? And she's like, no, this is just a bad movie. Like, I was like, Priscilla, this is the whole movie is a joke. Like, it's James Wan making fun of himself.
I mean, yes. I mean, it is like, and it's also, we can't discredit the secret sauce that is Akilah Cooper's screenplay, which like says the most bonkers things in the most straightforward way.
Yes.
I mean, James Wan took a script that is a would be ridiculous for an X-Files episode and shot it like a fucking Argento film.
Exactly. This is basically a giallo film of the 2020s. Like, again, I don't fault you for it if you don't like this movie, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but I just think that I think a lot of people just didn't get it, and that's That's discouraging.
And it always feels like that's such a cop-out to say, right?
Yeah,
but I truly do. I'm like, if you can groove on the same frequency as this movie,
yes,
there's nothing better, man.
Yes, like, meet the movie at the level that it wants you to be on.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it's a thing where people thought they were getting another Conjuring or another Insidious,
sure,
and they walked out disappointed. But, like, I mean, this has become the gold standard, right?
Because
every time a new horror movie comes out, we're like, is this the new Malignant?
Yes, like, Orphan First Kill was supposed to be the new Malignant.
Exactly. Is Barbarian the new Malignant? Is Megan the new Malignant? And so far, none of them have reached that level yet. Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah, we've used that comparison so many times in the past year.
We have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nothing has lived up yet.
And look, I think I enjoyed Megan way more than you did, mm-hmm, but I also saw it, like, in a full theater while drunk, and it's just, those are some of my favorite movie experiences, and I think that this team is making movies specifically for that. Like, I'd rather watch 1,000 Megans before I see another David Gordon Green Halloween movie.
Sure, I thought you were about to say they're making movies specifically for you, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of would agree.
Well,
like,
yeah, no shit, right? No, they're making horror movies where I sit in the audience and yell "Slay, Mama!" Uh-huh. Like, yes, of course.
Well, I don't like that one bit.
Slabriel.
Oh my!
Would it be amazing if they just wrote two, like, special thanks, Nathan Simmons, like, and they didn't tell you, and you just went and saw the movie?
Oh my,
like,
god! I just squirted wine out of my nose.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about that. You for last week's episode, yeah, you got wine and we didn't even bring it up.
Not a big deal. I had just been drinking wine for 7 full days.
So yeah, I think we talked about this on the Possessor episode, but uh-huh, I watched this movie for the first time back to back with past guest Michael Moss.
Uh-huh.
This movie and Possessor. Could you imagine a double feature?
What a double feature.
Wait, yeah, back to back? No.
Not enough Gabriel Dick in this one.
Not enough Gabriel Dick.
Oh, you didn't watch the director's cut, I see.
But yeah, I loved it right away.
Uh-huh.
I think the moment it took for me to realize what I was in for and, like, to click with this movie,
mm-hmm,
and it's something we mentioned off air, but
is it I'm adopted?
Yes. The second that Madison says I'm adopted, kick in the Pixies cue, like,
yep,
I lost my mind, and I was like, okay, I get what this movie's doing now.
Like, and, like, it is so, it's so melodramatic. She hasn't actually said something fully insane,
mm-hmm,
like, and out of context, it's the funniest thing in the world, but, like,
and this is a soap opera.
It's
like,
it's
a horror soap opera.
100%. It is a show that Sydney's character would be in. And I love it so much. And I keep coming back to this thing where I'm like, you cannot fucking use that musical cue,
yep,
for a movie that has this twist.
Well, I think you can, but only because of what the movie is, right?
And you, like, hope the audience is in on the joke.
If you don't get it at that point, I don't think you're ever going to get it.
Yeah. And the most negative reviews of this movie keep talking about how silly it is. And I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, it's meant to
that's
be
the
silly.
Point.
Yes.
That's the entire fucking point.
Yes.
It turns into a Matrix fight halfway through. What are you talking about?
Good
of course
God.
It's a joke.
Uh-huh.
Buddy, it's amazing.
It's perfect. It's a great movie. I hope we get a sequel to this.
Yes,
I really
me
do.
Me too. I have a feeling that Megan might have put that on the back burner, unfortunately.
No, with all the sequels.
As much as I enjoyed Megan, but, like, I want Malignant 2 right now.
Somehow, Gabriel returned.
Hold on. Malignant versus Megan.
Oh, Megan's getting her fucking ass beat.
Yeah.
Well, Megan doesn't have her body anymore. She might get a super body in the next movie.
That's
and
true.
Then, like, oh, I guess spoilers for Megan. But.
Oh my god, wait. Was Megan, like, a secret RoboCop prequel?
Oh. I'm into that.
No. No, it's not. By the way, no, it's not.
Fuck. It might be a secret prequel to the RoboCop remake.
There you go. That's more likely, yeah.
No, and the thing that I love about this movie, first of all, is this the first time we've discussed a James Wan film on Silver Linings?
Well, we did do Saw.
Okay,
the first
before
Saw
my time.
Movie.
We did?
Yeah, we did, but we haven't done any of the Conjurings, any of the Insidious. I think we should do Dead Silence at some point, though.
I love Dead Silence.
Dead Silence is fucking rad.
It's so silly. I love James Wan.
Yeah.
I love his whole aesthetic. I love his whole deal. He seems like a really, like, enthusiastic filmmaker, and
yeah,
you can feel the love on every every single frame. I think that's like one of the big issues with The Conjuring 3 is that he doesn't direct it, and yep. you lose like a lot of that energy.
Yeah.
And I feel like this movie, like, you want to talk about a blank check moment. Mm. This movie is, let's not only let James Wan make the movie he's always wanted to make, let's let him make every movie he's always wanted to make.
Let's just put it all in on the screen for this one time.
Which is why this movie feels like Conjuring sequel and an X-Men film at the same time.
Fuck. This is like a special treat, right? Like, he made all that money for Aquaman and like all the Insidious and Conjuring movies.
Furious 7, right? Didn't he direct Furious 7 as well?
Yeah, I think he did one of them, yeah.
It was Furious 7.
This is like the gift that you get for doing that, right? Like, 'cause this doesn't happen for a lot of like, I don't want to say smaller filmmakers, because James Wan's clearly not that anymore, but like, nobody gets blank checks like this really anymore.
No, it's the same school of thought of like, okay, Tim Burton, you made Batman, now you get to make Edward Scissorhands.
Yes. And I mean, we did a Lee Whannell movie earlier this season, The Invisible Man. Now we're doing a James Wan movie, so we're like getting the duo back together. Like,
right.
And both these movies rule.
Yes.
Like, I love this movie. I'm excited to talk about it, and I know we have a lot to talk about. So let's go ahead and jump to the production.
Mm-hmm.
In case you're not familiar too much with Malignant, but we'll tell you all about it. So the year is 2021. As we mentioned, the director is James Wan. The movie stars Annabelle Wallace, George Young, Jake Abel, Maddie Hassan, McCall Brianna White, Jacqueline McKenzie, Ingrid Bisou, John Lane Brody, Paula Marshall, Patrick Cox, Rachel Winfrey, and Paul Maben.
George Young, who plays Kakoa Shaw in this movie,
ugh.
Was in that Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie that just came out.
Oh, like, really?
Falling for Christmas. Like, we, Ashley and I watched it because we have a soft spot for terrible like Netflix Christmas movies.
Sure.
And about 20 minutes in, I go, hey, that's that detective you think is so hot and Malignant.
It's funny you mentioned him, because I wanted to bring up Ingrid Bisou, who is one of the producers of this movie, mm-hmm. and is maybe my favorite character in the movie.
Who does she play?
She's the forensics detective that so in love with Kakoa, but yes. like he doesn't see it. Man,
she's essentially the character from Sherlock.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love her so much in this movie, but she's got maybe my favorite line of the movie.
Yeah,
maybe. But we'll talk about when we get there. The movie had a budget of $40 million. It only grossed $35 million worldwide. Mm. I still consider that a success.
We fucked up.
Wait, this movie had a higher budget than The Menu?
Yeah, by like $10 million, I think, yeah.
Fuck.
Isn't that crazy?
What the fuck?
Not enough Gabriels in The Menu, honestly.
That's the one big flaw that movie has. And the movie currently sits at a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Honestly, higher than I expected.
Yeah. And again, that's the critic side. The audience side is a 52. But 76, again, if you understand what this movie is, mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Same number of trombones in The Music Man.
Mm-hmm. 24% of people are fucking idiots.
24% of people are malignants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Are malignants. All right, well, let's watch the trailer, because I've only seen the trailer once. It was before I understood what this movie was, and I don't think they give away the ghosts in this trailer, so I'm excited to see.
Uh-huh. There's no ghosts in this movie, Dustin, you fucking moron.
But the trailer almost looks like a ghost movie.
Yeah, well, they treat Gabriel like a ghost at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge-ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on the big... Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the big cunty couch. Mwah.
It doesn't hurt that she basically lives in the Conjuring house.
I was going to say, James Wan just keeps reusing this house, doesn't he?
He loves his 70s decor.
Yeah. The geography of this house looks exactly like all the houses in his movies.
Uh-huh. Guy knows what he likes.
I am enamored with Annabelle Wallace. She's so captivating in this movie.
She has some awkward moments, but I think this cast is unbelievable in the fact that they're able to deliver some of the most ludicrous dialogue I've ever heard in my life.
Right?
Yes.
Well, she gives off... She's a couple hairs away from being Christine Brown from Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, like, my gosh. Kind of, yes. Uh-huh.
But, like, she plays it so straight, mm-hmm. and that's why I love it.
No, I love this cast. I love Susanna Thompson, too. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so good.
And the voice of Gabriel is like an anime voice actor, and it fits.
Ray Chase, yes. Yeah, who he voices Etrigan the Demon in Justice League Dark. He's done stuff in ReZero, Kingdom Hearts. Yeah, he rules.
That voice for Gabriel is so, it's such an anime villain. I love it.
It's excellent.
Would y'all shut the fuck up? I'm trying to watch this trailer.
I was just going to say he took over from Troy Baker as Reese in Borderlands 3.
Oh.
And like does a pretty good Troy Baker impression.
Again, he's getting closer. He wants to talk to you. Mom, what do you know? He's coming for me.
This is a great shot.
Ugh.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, this trailer does not.
Fellas, that trailer made me want to watch the movie again, right? And I rewatched it today.
Guys, let's after the recording.
Can y'all just shut the fuck up? I want to throw the movie on right quick.
After the recording, let's get on a call.
Actually, DC, you got it queued up. Just push play.
Oh, here we go. Yeah,
push play.
As we're recording, I'm just gonna play it. If that's okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll live watch this motherfucker. I don't care.
Should we? Should we do a live commentary for Malignant?
Maybe not now.
Maybe that's what the season finale is. We just do the movie.
Yeah, we should act it out.
Motherfucker, would you push play? Pop them subtitles on. We good to all go. Right. Hell yeah, WB logo. What up?
The worst WB logo. I hate this new blue logo. It's so ugly.
Legally, I cannot talk shit on WB at
That's
the moment.
True.
Yeah.
So, the movie opens at Arkham Asylum.
Okay. Nathan, I'm glad you said that because my first note is we started Dr. Weird's castle. This castle / mental hospital.
It's the mental hospital for mystery men.
This fucking Silver Surfer looking motherfucker here.
Yeah, it sure is. And the way you know what this movie is right away is he brings back the green filter that we haven't seen since like The Ring.
Oh my gosh.
Like the early 2000s horror movies that all had this filter on it.
I mean, the opening credits are Saw 1.
Uh-huh.
Like it's like surgery footage with dubstep. Like
this song, I think it fucking slaps for this movie.
Oh, like, it's the not... score is great in this movie. I listen to it a lot.
It's not something I would just put on by my, like, just to listen to, like, this opening song, but it's so early 2000s.
You can't trust a woman named Florence.
The woman named Florence will break your heart, man.
Don't worry, darling.
Thank you. This whole movie is, like, the allure of it is that it's a throwback to those campy, shitty horror movies of the aughts, right? Like, the only difference is this has a next-level director behind it.
Right, and it also reminds you of those movies by putting...
Oh, shit. She's speed-walking now.
It reminds you of those movies by putting Patricia Velasquez in the first scene, who played Anoxuna Moon in The Mummy, was also in Arrested Development as Marta.
Oh, damn! Just fucking hit the wall!
This is just James Wan poking fun of himself, right?
Sure.
Because, like, this is, again, a throwback to those gritty, gross, gratuitous horror movies of, like, just how hopeless things felt post 9/11, right?
Yes.
Like, you get the guy that pioneered this kind of feel with Saw, and, like, he's going back to his roots, but I love that he's making fun of himself throughout the whole movie. And
also, how can you not tell that you're watching a melodrama when you hear a character say a line like, "Oh my God, he speaks."
He's sucking out all the electricity.
There's a dramatic, like that dramatic zoom for "It's time we cut out the cancer." Like,
yes.
I'm like, hell yes, I'm in.
And we know right away that this character's name is Gabriel, but we first learn that something's not quite right when we get the close-up of the purple socks with the pandas on.
Right.
Right.
Being dragged across the floor.
Oh, she is dead as fuck. Oh, he dead too.
Matt, I can't have you commentated the whole episode. Focus.
I am. I wish I'm trying to focus. Y'all keep fucking talking.
So
y'all do your thing. I'm doing my own show over here.
So we get these dope opening credits.
Yes.
With this song.
Smash cut to the present day that still looks like the 70s.
Uh-huh.
Annabelle Wallace driving the Griswold station wagon.
There is a weird thing with 70s aesthetic in this movie, as we'll get to later on. Uh-huh. But like, we get this, I don't know, this Derek character, the husband.
Oof.
I mean, you're front loading the whole movie, right? Like
a cartoon asshole from the beginning.
Yes.
I was watching that. You need to stop getting pregnant.
Maybe you just need to stop being pregnant. It's such a crazy lie to just say to somebody.
I'm like, you helped, bro. Like, it's not, she didn't get pregnant by herself.
It does take two to tango.
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, we know what kind of guy we're getting into right away when he's got his shoes on the bed watching UFC in the bedroom,
texting while UFC is on in the background,
and then getting mad that she turned it off when you clearly weren't watching it.
Uh-huh.
That would be enough as it is, right? This guy sucks. But then the throwaway line he has of, how many times do I have to watch my children die inside of you?
Jesus. Yeah, like, no tact. Ugh. Whatsoever. Just so awful.
As someone watching the movie for the first time and not fully getting what we're doing right away, but like, it almost feels like it's too much, right?
Sure.
Like, you shove a pregnant woman into a wall and she's bleeding from the back of her head.
Right.
But like, you're doing this highbrow camp in a way that is serious for the characters in the movie.
Yes.
But as the movie goes on, not so much for the audience watching. Like, that's the trick.
And that's the thing, right?
Yes.
Like, this movie doesn't work unless everyone is 1000% dialed in.
Yes. Like, they can't be showing their hand at all. This movie has to be played serious to a T for it to work.
This is a movie where characters use the word yearning. Mm-hmm. They speak in ways no one's going to speak.
What? You've never yearned?
Have you never yearned, my good boy?
Hast thou never yearned?
DC, do me a favor. Skip these credits. I'm interested in this shit.
I can't. My computer will crash if I do. I'm just going to let it ride, buddy,
all
if
right,
you want to watch. You know how this guy sucks also is he stores his 2 liter of Mountain Dew on its side in the fridge.
Oh, I missed that.
Why would you do that?
Disgusting.
Psychopath. You better hope that lid's on tight.
Right? Otherwise, you're waking up to some sticky leftover Chinese food the next morning. Because
so I can't drink Mountain Dew anymore.
Oh.
Like, that's a weird thing that's happened to me in the last couple years.
Oh, buddy, welcome to your 30s.
I think that's what it is, right? Like, I used to drink Mountain Dew constantly to the point where, like, I tried to get my old band sponsored by Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
And now, whenever I drink it, I'm just like, well, this is garbage.
Yeah. No, it's always been garbage. I don't know. You're just fine. Out.
Like, yes.
Yeah, Mountain Dew has never been good, man.
Mountain Dew, to pull a quote from last week's movie, is the most offensive drink to put on your palate ever could try.
I love, there was a clip of John Oliver drinking some, like, Mountain Dew Code Red on one of his episodes, and he goes, what the fuck is wrong with Americans?
Well, Code Red is fucking disgusting.
No, any Mountain Dew is disgusting. And the fact that it was developed as an alternative to Coke to go in your whiskey.
Sure.
And that's what they came up with? What?
Is that true?
Yeah.
No, y'all can take your fucking Baja Blast Taco Bell eating asses and get the fuck out.
No, I do still fuck with Baja Blast.
I can't.
My secret is, I hate myself.
Nathan, you disgust me.
Well, I plan to be dead in like the next 10 years.
So, well, then keep drinking the Mountain Dew. You're on your way.
Nathan, I hate you too, but I ain't drinking fucking Baja Blast.
No, I just, if you're Mountain Dew, I think being a Mountain Dew enjoyer also, unfortunately, maybe says something about you as well, too. You kind of get lumped in with a...
What's this now?
Yeah, you're a fucking child.
Well, I was going to say that, or you're a quote-unquote gamer, or you're like an extreme sports guy. Like, you get lumped into some things. Same with, like, Monster Energy drinks and things like that.
Punching the drywall.
Yeah, I mean, that goes along with Derek, right? It makes sense that he drinks Mountain Dew, putting his pregnant wife
through
that.
This dude loves Mountain Dew and misogyny.
Well, I mean, all that's clear. I mean, look at that fucking V-neck he's rocking.
Shit.
That's barely a V-neck.
That's a douche V-neck if I've ever fucking seen one.
That's a lowercase U-neck.
Like, commit to the deep V or don't.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Get the fuck out of here with that shallow V-neck.
Maybe Mountain Dew is like, maybe that's their slogan, is like, we love our wife beaters. Like,
oh my God.
that seems to be all that enjoys that in these movies, and especially in this movie. So allegedly, allegedly,
you know, someone in marketing was like, "Do you mean the shirt?" Yeah,
absolutely. I hate those t-shirts.
So
let's talk a little bit more about James Bond, because he does have a very specific style, but it's impressive that it's still effective after all these years, because when Maddie is sitting on the, well, when Gabriel is sitting on the couch and then Derek turns the light on and it's the shadow's gone.
Yes.
Followed by the cushion decompressing. Like, it's maybe the scariest moment of the movie.
I love the cushion popping up.
Yes.
I hate that it then cuts to a close up of it.
Yeah.
I wish that was just in the wide shot. Yeah. Like, it's so effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a hat on a hat.
Do you think that's a little nod to The Invisible Man, since Lee Whannell did that movie right before?
No.
All right. Moving on.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I just feel like it just smacks of, I don't trust the audience to catch this.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the close up. Maybe. I don't know.
And I love, like, it's a while before we get the reveal of exactly how Gabriel is situated, so to speak. Like, he
situated.
It's not until he kills that doctor that we see it's someone backwards.
Yeah.
In this first scene, all we can tell is that this dude's arms don't bend right.
Yeah.
There's something off. It's sort of a blurry effect.
He's a maniac cop.
He's a real maniac cop.
Girl, why are you just sitting down? Go to the hospital, honey.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. That's the note I brought up. I'm like, lady, you're a nurse, you're pregnant, and you're bleeding from the back of the head.
Your skull has been cracked.
You, of all people, should know not to go to sleep.
Don't go to bed.
Because she goes to sleep right after this. Mm-hmm.
That's how Freddy gets you.
Yeah. Okay, I do have a question. I guess we should spoil if you haven't seen Malignant. We're gonna spoil it right away.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen the movie, hop on the call. We're watching it right now.
If we know that Maddie and Gabriel are one and the same, how is Gabriel manifested here in the scene where she runs away from him in the house?
Oh, that's all in her head. That's one of her waking dreams. Because you can tell, because he breaks the door, but then it's intact when she actually wakes up and finds Derek's body.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're right.
I've watched this movie like 7 times.
Jesus. So you're a Malignant expert, as we should come to know you as.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're a resident expert now.
I'm a Malignant scholar.
Maybe that's your lower third, Nathan Simmons, Malignant expert.
I think it's Malignant connoisseur.
Oh, that's perfect. I think, because I was looking for like hints of like, when does this movie kind of tip its hand right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's right here after Maddie wakes up and finds Derek's crazy killed corpse.
With the bone kind of jutting through the skin. It's a really gnarly effect.
We love a jutted bone.
We love a jutted bone.
We do.
Right after that, we get this shot and it's like 20 cop cars.
Oh my gosh.
A helicopter.
That's what I wrote out. You know how they fly out a helicopter and 30 cars for one murder, right?
Well, no. Because the line is, and this is what made me laugh out loud, because I'm like, okay, this is how early they start to show you, is the two detectives pull up, Kakoa and do we ever get the other partner's name?
Regina.
Kakoa and Regina pull up.
Yeah.
And one of the cops is like telling, because he goes, what are we looking at? He goes, oh, it's a home invasion. I'm like, you need all this for a home invasion?
Right. Yeah.
There's a helicopter floating above.
You're underselling the fact that there's a dude inside whose head has been separated from his neck.
That's true, but then you say it's a murder.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean.
But they say, yeah, exactly. They say home invasion.
I believe the technical term is homicide.
There you go. There's been a moita inside. We gotta get, because this is still the 70s.
Right.
It's been a moita.
And then they get inside, and Winnie is a character from How I Met Your Mother.
Like, the forensic detective. That's her name, Winnie?
Yeah.
Dude, she is the MVP of the movie for me.
She's,
I love
so
her
funny.
So much. She's so good. And I realized right in this moment, because she keeps, Maddie mentions earlier to Derek that she keeps having miscarriages.
Sure.
And as someone who's seen the movie, I know where it's going to go. This movie kind of has a similar setup to another movie we've done on the show.
Oh.
Way back in season one. This movie, kind of a butterfly effect of a woman who keeps getting pregnant and the child keeps dying inside of her.
That's the most anyone's ever laughed while saying that sentence, Dustin. I just want you to sit with yourself for a second.
Jesus.
I'm not not like, making fun of the situation. I'm making fun of the fact that this movie
gave you butterfly effect vibes.
Exactly. So you know what, DC, you take a timeout. Me and Nathan will take over for a few minutes. You're on timeout,
guys. I did 6 degrees of bacon to the butterfly effect. I thought I would get an applause break there. I'm so sorry, I misread the room.
Here's the thing: I've never applauded the butterfly effect. And I won't. And I shan't.
I shan't. So we get introduced to the sister, Sydney.
This scene is so good.
This is funny as shit because she shows up in this princess outfit.
Yes.
For no reason. I mean, that never comes back.
Uh-huh.
I kind of wish she was in a princess costume the whole movie.
I love Maddie Hassan in this movie. She's so great.
She's so good.
But she has this moment when Maddie realizes that she's lost her child is just heartbreaking. Like, the scream she gives. But the problem is, the following scene, Kakoa and Sydney are talking about her like she's not there.
Yeah, like she's just not in the room. Yeah.
And, like, Kakoa, you know, not the greatest detective in the world.
You think?
No.
At one point, like, in this, like, right before this, Regina's like, you know, the neighbors said that he used to knock her around, and he goes, he beat her? And I'm like, yes.
That's what that means.
Correct.
So we go to the morgue. Where the two detectives are talking about the body.
Yeah.
And they say it seems like every print is upside down, so the perp must have been from the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
And man, the way this movie draws musical stings right when something dramatic happens is so fucking funny because...
Yeah. The way this drops, it drops musical stings to tell you you're supposed to know it's a dramatic moment.
Yes. 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 It's like a soap opera. Uh-huh. Like she's basically saying that Maddie had motive, and she says the word motive.
Motive.
Followed by a sting, and then she puts a lollipop at her mouth to end the shot.
It's like, so good.
So fucking funny.
These two are television cops. Uh-huh. Like, it's so perfectly, you know, Benson and Stabler,
yes.
Right? Like, it's ridiculous.
They're not that good.
No, or that hot. No. But you know.
When I first watched this movie, I decided to, like, live tweet my reactions to it. That was the first time I posted. I was like, man, the lollipop stinger was too fucking much for me.
It's so great. I love it.
Ironically, that's around the same time I stopped following DC on Twitter.
Does this house seem unnaturally big inside?
Sure.
For how small the exterior is?
Even when we get that, like, Polly Pocket-esque overhead shot, like, it feels...
This house was enormous.
It feels expansive. Yeah. It's like going into the Myers house in Halloween 5.
Oh, absolutely.
Stay tuned.
So, Maddie gets released from the hospital and goes home. And, man, I don't know if I could go back into my home if I was the victim of a home invasion.
No.
Where the perp wasn't caught.
No.
Right?
Yeah. You know how they just let you go back to your house that someone was murdered in?
And unsupervised. Yeah.
Especially when she's the main suspect.
Right? Then she leaves both the front and the back doors unlocked.
Well, so does she leave the doors unlocked, or is this another vision of... that Gabriel's giving her a walking nightmare.
That's true.
See, that my first viewing of this, I was like, wow, this is the worst final girl I've ever seen in a movie. And then on this one, I'm just like, who's to say what's real and what's Gabriel?
That's fair. That's fair. No, this top-down view is excellent.
It's fucking dope.
She's a rat in a maze, right? Like, she's in Gabriel's trap, and it's a great motif.
When the movie starts really laying it on thick, too, where she literally slams the door closed, locks it, and repeats,
it's all in my head,
over and over again.
I wrote down, girl, if you only knew.
Oh, she's seen the movie before.
Right? Sydney comes over and she's talking with Madison, and then
Madison's precinct 13 to her house.
She has. There's maybe the shortest montage ever. It's like four shots and she's drilled into the wall.
You half expect it to cut to her, like, putting Legos on the floor.
Home Alone-ing her own house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She comes to the house and she's talking with her sister, and she's like, she's talking about Derek. She says, nobody deserves to die that way, but seriously, fuck him. And I'm like, yes.
That's why Sydney is like my MVP. I love her.
She's the champ. Yep. And then, guys, this is, I talked about it before, but this was the moment where I realized what this movie was doing, and I was on board, because she sits down and she's we didn't say, but she lost her baby again.
Yes.
And she sit down talking with Sydney, and she's like, look, I just wanted to have a baby. I wanted to have something I had a blood connection with.
A biological connection.
Yes. And she says, what are you talking about? We're sisters. And then she says, Sydney, I'm adopted. Cut to... This Where Is My Mind cover and the slow push it on the sister's face. This is exquisite filmmaking, guys.
So unfortunately, when I saw this for the first time, I'd had a couple of choice moments ruined for me.
Oh.
Thanks to Twitter. But this in particular is one of my favorite moments in any movie.
Oh my god.
I could not imagine what the theater experience was like. I bet that was fucking hilarious.
Because I saw this shot out of context and cackled until I was crying. And I was like, I have to see what this movie is.
I would give anything to have seen this movie open tonight with a full theater, and then that line hits, and man.
Did any of us see this in the theater? I did not. I saw it on HBO Max.
Yeah, same. That's a bummer.
Because they were doing that thing in 2021 where it was like, we put it on for a month, then we put it out on Blu-ray before we put it back on streaming.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It's one of my biggest 2021 follies is not seeing Malignant in the theaters, for sure.
Same. Totally.
And to not have that first experience again is going to be upsetting, to not like never experience that with a crowd, because man, that had to have been a fun time. And then we go to this seemingly unrelated woman in this tourist attraction in the mines of Seattle. And I love that this character, like, she's closed up for the night. There's the lights are all turning off and she hears a noise. And I love that she basically just says, nope.
No, fuck that. I'm going to plug the lights back in.
Yeah. And like, it gets louder. The sound gets louder the more she walks away. And it's like almost demanding, like, hey, notice me.
Old Seattle is such an insane concept, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that there's just a city built on the city.
The city underneath the city, yeah. Uh-huh. It's an interesting concept. Like, that would play into something very, like, cool to explore. I'm sure movies have done it, but like something like kind of like a Jordan Peele Us, but like what's going on in the city underneath the city, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see.
I mean, that's like a third of Arkham City, right? True. Like the idea that there's like old Gotham catacombs.
Cool. Yeah. Great fucking game.
Uh-huh. Is it ever explained why Gabriel speaks through electronic devices?
Because he has the power to manipulate electricity. I mean,
oh, that's the explanation. Thank you. Okay, got
that's the explanation. No, it is so wacky to me that the idea that, okay, so he's this mutated twin that was absorbed in utero, but he's able to give her super strength.
Uh-huh.
She's impervious to bullets.
Yeah.
She could control electricity.
It's like Dr. Banner in the Hulk. Like,
well, that's how twins work.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
You know how, like, in The Parent Trap, one of the Lindsay Lohans just takes, like, five shells to the chest and keeps going?
That's my favorite scene of that movie.
Yeah, no. I have two cousins who are twins, and one of them is fucking ripped.
Okay. That sucks for the other one. I mean, I thought maybe it was a thing where, like, when they go to cut out Gabriel, they say they cut out as much as they could.
Uh-huh.
I thought maybe they just cut out his mouth and that's how he was able to, but no, he's got teeth and everything later on in the movie.
Yeah, and he does it from the first scene before they even do the surgery.
Yeah. So I don't know.
No, it's literally, they were throwing out ideas. They were like, what if he speaks through electricity, has super strength? Fuck it, yeah.
Let's do all of it.
I think why they did that is because when Gabriel and Madison are talking, they couldn't just have it coming from the back of her fucking head.
Sure.
To keep the reveal hidden longer.
That makes sense.
Because she gets a phone call with him later on, and yeah. Speaking of music cues, though, this ballad that kicks in when Dr. Weaver pulls out this Polaroid from her drawer in her house.
Oh, because
holy shit.
I like Maddie because she listens to Brian Ferry. She fucks with Roxy Music, and me too.
But you guys noticed this, right? Like, when Dr. Weaver's just in her house, for some reason, it's just ballad music that kicks in.
Uh-huh.
It was so fucking weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we get the first introduction of, like, the walls falling away and Madison being frozen in place to see what Gabriel sees, basically.
We get that shot of, which I think is genuinely scary, of Weaver running by at the bottom of the stairs screaming.
Yes.
But Maddie's reaction is essentially, that's curious.
Yeah.
Like, and, which maybe is intentional because we're like supposed to see this as her sleepwalking or it's like kind of dream logic stuff where you're not necessarily affected by what you're seeing.
Well, for a brief moment, the movie becomes an Insidious movie or a Conjuring movie.
Sure, yeah.
Because, like, she sees Dr. Weaver run by, she goes downstairs, starts putting laundry in, then she sees Dr. Weaver in the window of the washing machine.
Yes.
And, man, this effect is really well done of, like, the walls falling away and everything.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And I love how confusing this is for her, because Dr. Weaver's like, what are you doing in my house? And Madison's like, what are you talking about? This is my house.
And then they play it like she's having a sleep paralysis nightmare.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's great.
It's very cool. And, like, I do like that that's basically basically your one Insidious Conjuring type scene.
Yes.
Right? Because that you'd see that in all his movies.
Yeah. If you look in the background, you see Patrick Wilson, and he looks great. Uh-huh. I mean, he's just...
There's also that weird little old school 1920s male boy just standing in the corner, like that one scene.
That is the scariest moment in Insidious. Like, hands down.
I know. Little boys are terrifying. Yeah.
The next day, I mean, after he murders Dr. Weaver... The next day, they say, the brutality seems consistent with our other court. So I'm like, how so? One of them had their neck twisted. The other one had their head bludgeoned.
Oh, I don't want to gloss over the fact that Gabriel went to the Sharon Stone School of Stabbings, people. Because is brutal.
Keeps going.
The blood's spraying up out of the bottom of the floor. It's a lot.
Great Foley sounds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all the stabbings in this movie. Like, the guy in the hotel room later on, oof. Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus. I don't know which worse, that one or Basic Instinct. Like, it's rough.
Right. Damn. They kill the shit out of him. And, you know, he uses the most insanely designed trophy I've ever seen in my life.
I love it.
I love it, too. And as Shaw tells us, well, we got to find the missing half.
Yep.
And when he says, don't we all? Is that your favorite moment?
That was my line. We got to find our other half, don't we all? And the fact that he just doesn't acknowledge her.
Every single time she says something like that, Regina looks at her like, honey, go get laid, please.
I would watch an entire movie that's just from this character's point of view.
Plot
of her trying to find love. God damn it.
I mean, she survives. Hopefully we'll see her in Malignant 2.
Please.
Spoilers, Nathan. Damn.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot you're watching it right now.
If there is a Malignant 2 on the horizon and she's not in it, I will be extremely disappointed.
Right?
I want that thread to keep going. Because, surprisingly, all of the main characters of this movie live.
Uh-huh.
All the detectives, like Maddie, her sister, everybody.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Because Maddie does this multiple times throughout the movie. How many times would you guys endure bleeding from the back of your head before you went to the hospital?
Twice.
Half of once.
Right? Yeah, because she, like, at least four different times she puts her hand to the back of her head and it's just blood. And she's like, that's weird. And it keeps going about her day.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I found that crazy.
Absolutely.
And has she never had any kind of like X-ray work done or like an MRI or anything?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, they try to make it work with the fact that, oh, we suppressed as much as we could back into her skull.
Oh my God. The shot of Dr. Weaver just like gently pushing his head into her skull is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's like if your luggage was too full and you're just trying to shove it in there.
Uh-huh. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I'm sure that the reason she's gotten by this long is because people like Regina get fucking done reading about sick kids.
Yeah, that's true.
She's just like, I don't want to research anymore.
We go to this police precinct that is straight out of Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. This looks like the RPD so much. It's funny that, like, Kakoa's still there, and then, thank God, the one guy that's in the police precinct that he still needs is still there.
Is the sketch artist.
Which is the sketch artist.
Bosco, who is a character from a different movie.
Yeah.
Giving, like, a Jack Black-esque performance.
They cut to the drawing that he does later on.
Oh, my God.
Just unprompted, just here's a shot of Gabriel. Also one of the funniest shots of the movie. Holy shit.
It's like when you see the sketch of the Night Slasher in Cobra.
Oh my God, you're right.
And it looks like Thundar the Barbarian.
Well, there's that, and then like this, can you scale this woman up 30 years just a picture of Madison?
Yeah, where he just hands him basically like a headshot with a filter on it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's so fucking funny. God damn it, it's so funny.
Does Dr. Clemenson live in a hotel?
It has to be a hotel room.
Because they say it's the apartments across from Silver Cup. And also, every time I see the Silver Cup Studios logo, all I think of is the final scene of Highlander, where it's just in the background the whole time.
Uh-huh.
So I like to think that these movies are taking place at the same time.
Oh, of course they are. Shared universe.
Like, right across the street, Connor McLeod's just throwing down with the Kurgan.
I mean, you introduced a Highlander in Malignant 2. Now we got a movie.
He can control electricity. He's going to steal his quickening.
I almost heard you faint. Like, Jesus Christ.
You heard my soul leave my body.
Uh-huh. I kind of am getting over this. I mean, I don't mind it in this movie that much, but why does Gabriel wait so long to kill this guy?
I know. We get a couple of, like, fake outs. Uh-huh. Why do people keep going into completely dark rooms?
Right?
It felt like that moment in Scream 5 where we're just watching just the kitchen for, like, really? Oh, my God.
I was just about to say, Scream 5 is maybe the worst offender of this because there's, like, a five-minute scene of fake outs, and it gets too much.
Where it's just someone making a sandwich. Uh-huh.
That's all. For, like, five full minutes of screen time.
Instead, here it's Dr. Exposition uh-huh. talking about, oh, that was too long ago. Oh, we can't keep going back. And
yeah.
I'm like, is he on the run? How can he sleep with that neon light there? These are the questions I want to know.
No, I don't know. That pull the blinds down, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's because he's actually Daredevil.
If this scene ended with him, like, laying down into a sensory deprivation tank, honestly, it wouldn't feel out of place with this movie.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we get another one of the great shots in the movie, which is Maddie in bed, and then, like, from the trailer, the walls disintegrating around her, mm-hmm. Gabriel crawling on top of her. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
And the reveal of his face, like, winking at her is, mm-hmm. ugh, it's great.
Those little sequences are kind of cool, like, where everything fades away. It's and the shit. Best. Like, I really like them.
It's mm-hmm. really cool. So the guy gets stabbed in the fucking face
over and over again.
You sit there with it. It's rough.
Yeah.
But we cut to the next scene, which is Maddie had this vision. She goes to tell the detective, look, this guy is dead. If you just go here to these apartments across from Silver Cup, you'll find him there. I promise you.
They act like the police are stupid for not following this story.
I know.
I love it.
In their defense, they are fucking stupid.
Right.
They really kind of are. Coco is kind of a fucking idiot. But the music, we talk about the music, but the song that kicks in right here, the Synthwaves track that kicks in.
Oh, I know.
Oh my God. I was like, this is the hardest fucking track. This is dope as shit.
This whole soundtrack is fantastic.
Is that a song off your guys' upcoming album?
We might cover it. We might have to cover that song.
Jesus Christ.
It's a bonus track. So yeah, they find the dead body there, and why they don't just arrest her right there, I don't know.
Instead, they let her talk to the sketch artist, and Regina gives one of my favorite lines in the movie.
Uh-huh.
So I'm putting out a bolo on Sloth from the Goonies.
I mean, not wrong. Not wrong at all. So she goes to see her mom, not Maria Bello, but looks an awful lot like her.
Uh-huh.
She watches these videos of her as a child, and it shows that she's always been talking to Gabriel. And the funniest thing about this shit is we get introduced to this concept of, like, this play phone.
Oh, yeah, he's calling her from the Skinnamarink phone.
He's calling
her
from the Skinnamarink phone, which is not connected anyway to, like... Like, there's no... Why is Gabriel able to talk through that?
I don't know.
Like,
is it electric?
It's not electricity power. It's got to be battery power.
Well, batteries... What do you mean?
I know, but it's not, like, it's not plugged into an outlet, which is what I assume.
Oh, I don't know.
You're thinking about it way too fucking much, yeah. Bud.
Look, we got to get Gabriel on the phone.
No, Nathan, I know batteries could create electricity.
I caught myself before I said something insulting.
No, you were. You were like, this fucking guy.
No, I know. I'm sorry.
Fucking idiot.
I realized what was about to leave my mouth.
No. It was a fair question. It was a fair assessment.
I mean, that was what's the first time zone level question.
How dare you bring this up?
I mean, DC, your initials are literally electricity, man.
I know. I'm halfway there.
Are you living on a prayer?
James Wan gets to play with some VHS shit for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that takes me out of it is McKenna Grace is 100% not the age of this character.
No, she's like, she's supposed to be, what, nine?
Nine.
And she's like,
and 19. McKenna Grace is like, I think she's like 15 or something. Yeah. It's really distracting because she's clearly, like, being infantilized.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Kakoa puts it together that there's a third doctor that's part of this whole Gabriel shit. So yes. He goes to the house to investigate it.
Oh my gosh.
And the reveal of the third doctor already dead in the bathtub is genuinely a great shot. Like,
there's that, but there's also Maddie's getting ready for bed. She looks up in the bathroom mirror and she sees this doctor getting ready for a bath.
Yeah.
And if I looked into a mirror and I saw an old man getting naked, I'd lose my mind.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It would be haunting to get that image out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor's dead body is so it's reminiscent of like Stephen King's It.
Uh-huh.
And the slow pushing on it felt very Kubrickian. Like, definitely. I like that shot a lot.
Yeah. Well, and not for nothing, but we have Andy Bean, who is discovered in the bathtub in Stephen King's It.
Right?
In this movie. movie.
Yeah.
Playing her dad, who, like, this guy just kind of shows up to die in things, right? Like,
a thankless role, for sure.
This, It Chapter 2, Swamp Thing. Uh-huh. Like, people love killing Andy Bean.
Nathan, I think you're the only person that watched Swamp Thing.
I think you're right, as evidenced by being canceled after its first episode.
Right. We get introduced to this scene that is fucking wild. The escape scene between Gabriel and the detective.
Oh my god, man. When he suddenly runs backwards at the end of the hall, uh-huh. It's so fucking funny.
There's that, and then him Spider-Maning off the fire escapes, and Kakoa just being like, what the fuck?
Jesus Christ, yeah. Chasing him down into the catacombs.
God, The falling onto the dumpster on your shoulder.
Oof. Oh yeah, he's not moving the rest of the night, right?
No, that should be the end of the scene almost. He should be like, oh, that was a mistake.
My back.
Oh no, that shit's dislocated as fuck.
Yeah, right? And then Gabriel him and this cop run through this factory that apparently just makes steam. Like, that's all they do.
It's a Seattle steam factory, man. Oh, come on,
absolutely.
Now.
Yeah, those factories you see all over Seattle.
I learned that from the Kama Sutra, Seattle Steam Factory.
God damn it.
Give it to him.
Hold on.
Give it to him.
Yeah.
Then him and Gabriel have this fight outside of the carriage that Rose and Jack are having sex in.
Yes, did you guys notice? I noticed. This? Yeah. I love that shot of Gabriel laying on the top of the carriage.
It's really good.
It's good. It's good shit. And he's Zack Snyder Batman's out the door.
He sure does.
The wall.
That's what I wrote down too. I wrote that down too. He Batflex out of the room.
So good.
It's great. I love Akakoa's just like, I kind of wish the scene went on a little bit longer of just him like, well, fuck, now how do I get out of here? We got to watch him kind of stumble around for a little bit.
Right.
No, it's great. It's a great chase scene. Gabriel just stomping out the drywall or whatever to crawl under.
Uh-huh.
It's so fucking weird. I don't know what this old carriage is doing down here. I don't know. None of it makes sense, but I'm here for it.
It's part of old Seattle, but it is so jarring to have them suddenly be there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Even though I watched the full chase, it's still weird to like get there. But
no, because you know how you can just like kick through an alleyway wall and suddenly you're dozens of miles underground.
And you transport it back to like the 1910s. So there's also a side plot in this movie, or at least a recurring joke, of Sydney being obsessed with psychics.
Uh-huh.
Because they suggest, like, Kakoa and Regina suggest that Maddie see a hypnotherapist.
She's like, I knew
it. She goes, I knew it. And then you hear Regina off camera go, she's not a psychic, goddammit.
It's such a good line delivery.
Oh, man. I didn't hear that line the first time I watched this movie. I lost it on this rewatch.
Honestly, even if we don't get a Malignant 2, I'd watch a Kakoa and Moss movie.
Oh, like, my God,
I would watch that 100%.
Ooh, almost like an X-Files, but for just them, like, investigating weird shit in Seattle.
Dealing with different shit. Yes, yeah. 100%.
I also, at this point, noted that, like, this movie bumps up right along the line of something that's self-aware, like a Cabin in the Woods, without ever crossing it.
Yes.
Because Cabin in the Woods has similar vibes to it of like knowing that this is a joke and it wants you in on it, but this one doesn't get as meta.
Well, it's self-aware, but it's not a deconstruction.
Right.
So they can play with the form of what we expect from a horror movie without being straight up a parody.
Absolutely.
Which I think is such a clever line to toe.
Sorry, we're still watching the movie. Ingrid Bisa looks so much like she'd be related to like Anna de Armas, doesn't she?
I could see that.
She's got the same kind of structure.
Sure.
I guess.
I love that the thunder gathers during hypnosis.
It's got a theatrical cue.
And I really dig this flashback that shows us how Gabriel has been controlling her since she was little.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she answers the call just like a lady Ghostbuster and is convinced to go after her mom with a knife.
Oh, that's a great reveal, too. Just get yourself a slice of cake, and she's about to cut open her pregnant mom.
Ugh, it's terrifying.
It's really good. No, this movie's not without its scares, for sure.
And it cuts back to the detectives literally on the edge of their seat. Mm-hmm. They're so invested.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, laying it on real thick, Madison tells us, he became a lost memory buried in the back of my head.
Yep.
Then we get, I think, the funniest moment in any movie from the last 5 years.
Oh, God.
The lady falling from the fucking ceiling.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
One of the best reveals I've ever seen. Like, I literally, when I watched this the first time, went, wait, what? And cackled, like, till I cried.
That's a great reveal that this whole time, because we see the woman that Gabriel steals from the Seattle mines
right.
is in this like warehouse almost looking building.
Uh-huh.
And then it's revealed, no, that's just Madison Madison's attic.
Madison's fucking industrial looking attic.
Why she has that giant fan, I do not know.
This house is so fucking big, apparently.
Right? And it's so smart because every time we cut to this woman in the attic, they use establishing shots of the whole city.
Yeah.
Like we're going to a different part of Seattle.
To throw you off, yeah.
Even from this scene of the hypnosis, they cut to like a long shot of the city and then cut to her in the attic. And when Maddie starts screaming after this woman falls through the ceiling, police lights are already flashing in her face like they were waiting outside. Yep. It's such a good transition. I love it so much.
Well, here's the thing about this scene about her falling through the floor. She had to have fallen through two floors because she's in the attic.
Oh my God,
they're
right.
On the first floor.
Oh my gosh,
you're right.
So she fell through two floors.
Oh my gosh.
I think Maddie needs to get a contractor to her house. Something is not quite right with the structure of her house.
Yeah, nah, something's not up to code there.
I thought you were going to say, Nathan, the funniest line maybe of like the past couple of years is...
Oh, yeah, go for it.
When the detective says, are you saying the killer is your imaginary friend?
Oh, it's good.
I wrote down, holy shit, this movie just gets better as it goes along.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Do you think it's a missed opportunity not to put Peter Gabriel on the soundtrack of this movie?
Absolutely. It's a missed opportunity for every movie.
So this sister goes to the old mental hospital from Silent Hill.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason...
pulls up to the cliff.
Why does she park here? God damn it. It's so funny.
It also seems to take her 3 hours, all day to get there.
Yeah.
Like, it's the middle of the afternoon when she sees this castle. Mm-hmm. And then it's like midnight when she parks.
It takes her that long to get there. And then she's inside for maybe 3 minutes.
Oh,
like,
my
gosh. She gets right there.
Uh-huh.
The best part about this scene is how she's going to the record room. And you've seen this scene 1,000 times in horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to this record room. She's looking through the record. She finds the record. She hears a noise.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh shit, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
The scene just ends.
Cut to her in her mom's house now.
Oh my God, the first time I saw that, I got a good laugh out of that. It's just nothing happened. To further pile on the fact that Kakoa is not the brightest detective,
mm-hmm.
when they go to the woman that fell through the ceiling, she's in the hospital, he says to the nurse, when will she wake up? And she says, she's in a coma, detective.
It's in God's hands, which I'm just like, great medical advice.
He's so fucking stupid for a detective. It's so funny.
I love it. And meanwhile, Maddie's been put into a 70s prison exploitation flick. Like
I was gonna bring that up. Yeah. And man, I feel like such an idiot that I did not realize that this lead villain was Zoe Bell.
Really?
I just didn't recognize her at all. I don't know how.
I didn't realize that until very recently.
She's so like under the makeup and the outfit and the performance, I was just so taken aback by. So
I said in our text thread that she looks like a Chris Elliott character.
She does. Yeah. Before we get to that scene, though, because mm-hmm. I want to talk about the reveal of Gabriel.
Yes.
So Sydney and her and Maddie's mom are watching these VHS tapes that she got from the lab, from the records.
Uh-huh.
And man, when the camera swings around and you see Gabriel on the back of Maddie's head,
yes,
it is. Oh my God, I can't even describe it. It is the craziest shit of all time.
It's so good, and I will be sad forever that I had the reveal of what Gabriel looked like spoiled for me on Twitter.
Oh no.
I know, right?
That sucks.
What I didn't have spoiled for me was right before this, when Maddie's mom is talking to the camera and Susanna Thompson goes, they told me she died during childbirth. Uh-huh. Those lying cock knockers.
Cock knockers. That's a great line. So I guess we should tell the story. So Madison's real name is Emily.
It's Emily May.
She is the daughter of, I don't think do we get the mom's name? Is it like Serena or something like that?
Serena. Yeah.
Serena. So Serena was 15, got pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and her mom decided to basically give her away because she said it was an abomination that she was pregnant.
And Serena's played by Madison Wolfe, who previously worked with James Wan in The Conjuring 2.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so she gives birth to Emily in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
At 8 years old, she gets adopted, basically, and they told, not Maria Bello, I don't know this actress's name.
Susanna Thompson.
They tell her her mother died in childbirth, which is not true, because that's the woman that fell out of the attic.
Right.
That's Maddie's birth mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they tried to help her with Gabriel, but Gabriel was just uncontrollable, and it was making Maddie like aggressive. So what they did was they cut out the cancer. They
sure.
Weaver reveals he's an extreme version of a teratoma. And yes. I'm like, yeah, very fucking extreme. He's alive and has electricity powers.
Yes,
a little bit.
No reason he has electricity powers, by the way. It's just never, no. It's just a thing.
You know how, like, when you're a twin that almost gets absorbed, you become Magneto?
Yeah, you become an X-Men. Yeah. So they try to cut as much of Gabriel as they can, but they can't cut the whole thing out because they share a brain. And so they just shove the rest of it into the back of Maddie's skull and sew it up.
They just push that little face into her skull.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the fact that Madison's able to grow hair right there is kind of crazy and impressive.
And Weaver, for the third time in the movie, looks directly at the camera and says, it's time to cut out the cancer. Yes. And I'm like, was this like your catchphrase? Uh-huh. Did you have a book titled this with her like smiling and giving a thumbs up like on the cover?
If Dr. Weaver were to live beyond this, she would have wrote a book called Cut Out the Cancer.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, every doctor has a catchphrase. Right. I mean, we know this.
Oh, is that true? Doctors, write in to the silverliningsplaylist at gmail.com. Tell us your catchphrases. But no, this is the fucking craziest reveal. And then this is where we learned that Gabriel and Madison are one and the same. So every time we've seen Gabriel, it's just Madison. Huh? But Gabriel's on the back of her head. And so the reason Gabriel looks so crazy, like with its contortionist movements, is because he's literally breaking her bones.
And moving backwards.
To be reversed. Yes. And move backwards. And so while he's doing this, Madison is just asleep. Uh-huh. Or she's in that fake kind of limbo world where she thinks she's awake and just walking around.
He's put her in a trance, yes. Basically.
Yeah.
And this is where we get what I refer to as the horror goat scene.
So this is maybe the greatest thing in a movie I've ever seen. This is right up there with the Lord's Prayer in Spider-Man for me. This is fucking crazy. Before we get there, though, we do have to talk about Scorpion.
Yes.
We've kind of already talked about already, but Scorpion is the main villain in this jail cell, and she's got a mullet that would make Billy Ray Cyrus blush. Uh-huh. Like, this is, it's wild.
And she's so aggro for, like, immediately she's like, you get lost on your way to the country club. Uh-huh. And I'm like, she's wearing, like, Madison's wearing jeans and a shirt.
Yeah.
Like,
and then Madison says, I don't want any trouble. But she goes, fuck what you want.
Dude, honestly, I'm just going to say, I'm going to take her mullet.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it right up there with Shawn Michaels.
It's a great really mullet. Good.
It's beautiful.
It's a great mullet.
Undeniably.
And she's got a henchman that is out of some blaxploitation movie from the 70s.
Yes. Like, it is. No, I wrote down Pam Grier starts beating the shit out of her.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, the horror goatsy, as you mentioned. So this is the reveal because Madison collapses to her knees. She starts screaming in pain. The back of her head opens up and that's Gabriel.
Gabriel's little face going,
it's Quato from Total Recall.
Oh my
it's
God,
just
you're
fucking
right.
Crazy, dude. Like this turns into Basket Case real fucking quick.
It does.
Like, it's nuts.
The line delivery of what the fuck oh my God. Is so, immaculate.
It's glorious.
We should mention this whole jail cell is just full of women.
Full of women from different periods of time.
Yes.
Like 70s, 80s costuming.
Yes. And then Scorpion shoves her into Gabriel, and Gabriel just backhands the shit out of her.
This fight is so good. This is when Gabriel, turns into Agent Smith for like the next 20 minutes.
Breaks some women's arms in half and like, oh my God, like bite, like rips the 70s black woman's neck out, like just rips
neck off. Yes.
Yeah, just rips her neck off.
Pulls a Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
A Rambo.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
That too, yeah.
Yeah. Different generations, boy.
The stunt work and the gore in this is out of control.
It's out of this world.
So good.
We should give a shout out to Marina Mazzeppa, who plays the physical embodiment of Gabriel.
Yes.
Like a contortionist who literally learned backwards fight choreography.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of that, had to weave around an automated camera arm that was programmed to zoom in at specific moments.
Yep.
So she's like really like not only a contortionist, a dancer, but also a stunt worker.
Yeah.
Like this is an unbelievable physical performance.
It is like this is a popcorn scene. Like this is like cheering in the theater. Like
she cuts a guy's arm off and throws it at another guy.
Yes.
I mean that's smart.
Yeah,
is all that is.
I just so badly want to see this with an audience for the first time. God, I'm One of my biggest disappointments.
The shot of Gabriel walking backwards and frantically going through the evidence room is like me when I get home stoned and I'm trying to find the Cheez-Its in the pantry.
So you can make your Cheez-It casserole?
That's right. No, no Cheez-It casseroles. We're not doing that again. We're done with Cheez-It casseroles.
No, you know what? I forgot to mention that. I almost made that the menu episode. Nathan. And then I was like, do I hate myself? Do I want to waste all that money?
God.
Oh, I wish you would have.
I'll mail you some, Mally.
Just in an envelope.
Yes. Just cold. You gotta eat it how it arrives.
Copy that.
They outdo themselves because there's the jail scene and then they have the police precinct scene, like in the main room.
It's the Burly Brawl with Gabriel.
This is like the Matrix meets Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Yes.
Like this is fucking nuts.
But it's clear, it's fluid, it's well shot. I can follow every moment of this fight.
Yeah.
It is like the horror version of The Raid.
Yes.
And this is the next note I wrote down. The chair throw is horror's Henry Cavill reloading his arms in Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, Mally has been saying the chair throw for years.
Yeah. At this point. God, it's the best.
It is maybe the best moment in cinematic history in the past decade.
Like, how do you not see that and not get this? What this movie is doing? This is a joke.
Yeah.
It's all a joke.
And that is such a almost Sam Raimi-esque shot, yeah, tracking the chair through the air. It's so great.
Oh, there's so much Evil Dead in this movie.
Oh,
there's,
yeah,
so much. And the chair throw is the funny part about it is it's so unnecessary because, like, Gabriel's already ready to leave.
Gabriel could get away.
Yeah.
They're leaving.
Yeah.
Like, they're not chasing him anymore.
It's the scampiest moment of the movie.
It is. Gabriel is such a scam.
Gabriel's the ultimate scam.
Yeah. And for listener, I cannot recommend, if you haven't seen the movie, I can't overstate the chair throw. Like, it's so unnecessary, but it's the funniest fucking thing.
You were talking about it for months before I finally watched the movie, and it lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
It's still one of the best things I've ever seen.
Me and DC talk about this fucking chair throw like all those fucking idiots are talking about Avatar 2.
We so do. Yeah, this is my Avatar 2.
They're like, have you seen Avatar 2? Motherfucker, have you seen the chair scene?
It's a wrestling move, like, from the next level.
It's so
crazy. And this fight scene, like, Gabriel's doing everything because he's got his trophy sword that he makes,
mm-hmm,
and he's like cutting off limbs, he's stabbing people in the face, mm-hmm. Regina gets a shotgun, he's like dodging the shotgun shells and like kicking desk into her.
He does pull like a Jason Bourne move,
yeah,
when he like breaks Krakoa's arm with the chair.
Yeah. Like, it's nuts, dude. This scene and the jail cell scene together, it is The Raid.
Yeah.
You're right, this is The Raid in a horror movie.
Dude, I wish after that whole fight,
mm-hmm,
it just cuts to that scene from the Bourne movies where, like, my God, it's Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ,
it's Gabriel. Man.
And it's not even like, Gabriel's not even done. And like 2 minutes later, he makes someone's pacemaker explode in their chest.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask, is this theoretically possible to make a pacemaker explode like that?
Yeah, if you're a malignant.
Yeah, I guess that's true. If you're a malignant, that's a very good point.
You might be, if you make someone's pacemaker explode, you might be a malignant.
I think it says that on the back of the box when you get a pacemaker. It says, beware of malignants.
Emily May, you might be a malignant. You know what? If you turn out to be a malignant, I'm going to paint your back portrait. So, really tapping into my childhood right now, guys.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Again, I ask you, how did we let Larry the Cable Guy happen?
Because we didn't have a Gabriel to stop him, that's why.
that was all we were missing.
Yes.
Dude, I honestly think he might be a malignant.
What if Larry the Cable Guy has a malignant? Oh my God.
Time to cut out the cancer, I'll tell you what.
Y'all just give me a second, let me think about that for a minute. I need to visualize that. All right, I'm good.
What if Gabriel called Madison and was like, here's your sign?
Oh my God. God, yes. I'd watch this movie. All right, we're at the ending here, so I'll recap it for us.
Please do.
Maddie and Sydney, mm-hmm, go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Gabriel's there, obviously, because Madison's there.
Yeah.
They're there to, like, you know, help, like, get the mom, save her.
Uh-huh.
And Gabriel takes over. She fucking shoots Sydney in the head. And then, what is it? He puts a pillow over the mom's face? Is,
yeah,
that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah. But right before this, Sydney reveals, Madison, he killed your babies.
Oh,
he's
my
been
God.
Feeding
okay.
off of your unborn children for years.
This is my final note of the movie. Uh-huh. I wrote down the line, which is, He was feeding off your fetuses to build himself back up.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit, what a line.
Insanity.
A line that maybe would have still worked in last week's movie.
Uh-huh. Wait, what?
What?
Wait, what? Put Gabriel at Hawthorne's.
Oh, okay, there you go. Oh, could you imagine him as a sous chef? Oh my god, he'd be all over the kitchen. He could do every station. But then it's revealed that all that just happened with Gabriel killing the sister, killing the mom, uh-huh. it wasn't real because Madison and Gabriel share the same brain, the same mind.
Mm-hmm.
She can do the same trance trick that he can do.
She literally says, now I can do all the mind tricks you can.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's legitimately not great in this.
I think that's the point. I think it's the point. Uh-huh.
It's like, no. Luke doesn't just become a Jedi in A New Hope. Like, no. You're breaking the fucking rules, Madison.
Uh-huh.
It's like Nancy taunting Freddy Krueger. Like,
sure.
It's the same level. And then she puts him in basically a mind prison
uh-huh.
and says that, I can control things now. You won't be coming back. And he says, of course, you can't keep me locked in here forever. Uh-huh. Sequel setup.
Sure.
And
next time we'll be ready for... I mean, uh-huh. it's literally the last lines of dialogue between Magneto and Professor X
yeah.
in the first X-Men movie.
Yeah. yeah. And it's revealed that, yeah, the Sydney was not shot in the head. The mom was not snuffed out.
Uh-huh.
Madison becomes a Hulk and lifts a hospital bed off of Sydney.
As she explains to us, it was always my body mm-hmm. that he was using, so I have these powers.
Mm-hmm. And we basically get a next time gadget ending from Gabriel. And
somehow, Gabriel returned.
That has to be a line in Malignant 2.
I want it.
So bad.
Yes.
So, Sydney and Emily, I guess we should say, not Madison, embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because they do a zoom out and then the mom is just in the bed smiling.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last couple of lines are just so cringy mm-hmm. and I love how melodramatic it is. She says, all my life, I've yearned for a blood connection with someone, yet in the end, it was right in front of me all along.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know the way people talk.
Absolutely.
And again, Nathan, have you never yearned?
I hope you yearn one day, Nathan, for something.
Someday.
Anything.
I hope you find love.
I hope you yearn for love. Then we get, honestly, pretty reminiscent of the ending of Megan here, but mm-hmm. we get one last little buzz of electricity from, was it a lamp?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
In the hospital room.
Yeah, a malignant.
A malignant. And then Gabriel is... It's basically implied Gabriel is he's still out there.
He's still doing it.
Or in there.
Doing the most.
All up in it.
And yeah, that's Malignant, fellas.
My question,
uh-huh.
should there be a sequel?
Mm.
Does it feel like this is like the perfect, like this movie is shouldn't be touched because it like is the perfect execution of this silly thing?
You can't improve on perfection, you know?
Right.
Well, I would say you could do a sequel, but uh-huh. it's not necessary.
Okay.
Like, if James Wan comes back and the screenwriter and they say, we've got an idea for a Malignant 2,
mm-hmm.
give them all the money they need to do it.
I agree with that.
They should pull, like, an Aliens thing, though, and just make, like, just call it Malignant.
Oh, what if Sydney's got a Gabriel?
And then it's just a full-on just...
Sydney's got a Gabriel.
It's just a full-on action movie starring Gabriel.
I'm into that. They're just dropping Gabriel out of a helicopter behind enemy lines.
Yes!
What if they just put Gabriel in, like, season 5 of Stranger Things? So, like, that's the real guy that's been running the Upside Down this whole time.
Oh, man, they'd get me back to watching Stranger Things for the first time in 4 seasons.
Yeah, Stranger Things might actually become good.
Or what about put him in the last Jurassic Park movie? I mean, uh-huh. they always talk about wanting to put things behind enemy lines so they don't have to use soldiers. Drop a Gabriel in there and some dinosaurs. Why not?
Jurassic World Malignant.
Yes, I'm fucking Malignant World.
I mean, this is
like just imagine like the president calling Malignant, like calling Gabriel, just being like, only you can solve the crisis in the Middle East.
Oh my god, Gabriel, we need you.
Do Malignant and the Wasp.
Ooh,
like cross them over with the MCU.
Malignant Mania.
Was Gabriel and the Wasp Malignant Mania?
I like it.
Doctor Strange and the Malignant of Madness.
Oh, ooh.
Or the Multiverse of Malignants. I don't care.
This came out in 2021, and it kind of opened the door for like all of the crazy, innovative horror movies we got last year in 2022. Like,
yeah.
This kicked it off.
People just throwing shit at the wall
yeah.
to see what happens.
And it was one of the best years of horror in a long time.
Yep.
So
I agree.
I don't know, man. I think Malignant kind of changed the landscape a little bit, because, I mean, you got movies like Megan and stuff, mm-hmm. but like, I don't know. I agree that this is a great movie that I don't necessarily need a sequel to, but I would welcome one with open arms.
Sure. I'm into that.
If James Wan's doing it.
Right.
And the screenwriter.
Yeah.
If they're doing it, I'm in. If it gets passed off like Conjuring 3, no thanks.
What would you do if at the end of Megan 2, like Split style, the camera just pans over and Madison is like at the toy factory?
Holy shit. Yes. Oh my god. And then they pan over just a little bit more and it's Bruce Willis as well.
And then they pan over more and it's the ventriloquist dummy from Dead Silence.
Oh my god, make this happen. Warner Brothers, make this fucking happen.
Yes.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, that's Malignant. Do we miss anything? Do we have any other notes we forgot to cover?
I mean, my other question is, like, Madison's got to, like, after she takes control back from Gabriel, she's got to wake up with, like, 8 bullet holes and 20 broken bones, right?
That's the thing they never address, is she's breaking her bones every time he comes out. Uh-huh. So what is going on there?
Yeah, apparently she can fucking turn into Wolverine as well.
I was going to say, she's got to have an endoskeleton that's made out of adamantium or something. Like, it's,
well, that's the sequel. We explore that.
Ooh. All right. I'm here.
Oh, shit. Weapon X Malignant. Hell yeah.
All right, fellas. Well, let's get into, for the final time this season, Prop Cop. If this is your first episode tuning in, welcome and goodbye. This is the end of the season.
Later, bitches.
Prop Cop is where we look at all the props in the movie Malignant, and we each take one for ourselves. Who wants to go first? Who's got a great prop cop?
I'll go first.
Okay. Go for it.
Give me the chair, baby. Let's go. That's why I wanted to go first.
Well, Nathan, did you have a backup?
I want the chair, but I will take the trophy dagger.
That's great.
As a backup.
I mean, you can sit on my lap while I sit in the chair.
Hey. Okay. Can I still hold my dagger? Oh. If you know what I mean.
Oh, Nathan May, I will be painting your back porch red.
Oh, nice. I went with the police sketch artist drawing of Gabriel.
That was always mine. It's good.
That's pretty good.
I got to frame that and put it above the mantle. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. It's great. All right. Well, what about bit part, which is where we look at the extras in the movie, the little side characters, preferably ones that don't have a name, and we play them ourselves. Hmm. So who would like to go first for bit part?
I want to be the cop outside of the cell who shoots Scorpion like 18 times and then gets his arm snapped.
Perfect. Perfect. What about you, Mally?
Also the chair.
All right.
The chairman.
All right. I want to be the guard that has the pacemaker explode.
That's nice. Good. That's good.
It's just, it's such a crazy moment in this already crazy movie. All right. We're finally here, fellas. Mm-hmm. The final for the season, silver lining. Let's go. I'll go ahead and go first.
Yeah.
I think that.
Oh, God.
It's not that crazy.
Okay.
But that sketch artist fucking nailed Gabriel's look. Like, he got it to a T. That dude is getting a promotion.
Yeah. I doubt he's getting a promotion. Feel like, you're great where you are.
Like, to, like, a better grave plot? Because that dude's definitely dead.
Yeah. Did he die?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought you knew.
I'm just assuming everyone in that building is dead.
Yeah, it's safe to assume he's dead.
Oh, I hope not. I hope he made it out. Because, what's her name made it out? The forensics detective. She was alive at the end of
that's
that
scene. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they should be like become a couple. Like, she keeps looking for love and Kikoa keeps rebuffing her.
Winnie and Bosco, the continuing adventures.
Nathan, what about you? What's your silver lining to Malignant?
Presuming she stays in the TV business, I think Sydney's going to be able to pitch and sell a hell of a pilot based on this experience.
Yeah,
she'll get to finally play the psychic like full time.
That's right.
That'll be her full time gig. Yeah. Mally, what about you?
Well, as we established right up top, Derek is an absolute piece of shit. And do we really want more Derricks in the world? I think not. So maybe it's a good thing that all of his would-be children died.
I was gonna say maybe it's good that he's dead.
Yeah, no, that too, but also we don't want Derek Spawn running around.
I mean,
is that my darkest silver lining of the season?
Maybe.
I think so.
Maybe.
Okay, great. Well, we fucking nailed it, guys.
The real silver lining here is that all the women of this family are alive.
Yes.
Like the mom, the stepmom, the sister, and Maddie.
True.
Are all still alive. All right, well, as we like to do with every episode, we always like to offer an alternative, a double feature, a movie you watch right after Malignant to balance things out. If maybe Malignant left you a little dour with the fact that Gabriel's still out there, what is a movie people should double feature with Malignant?
So I mentioned it earlier in this episode, as well as the star of the film, but I think you should watch 1998's The Parent Trap, another movie with mischievous twins.
All right. All right. Mally, what do you got?
Just to keep the cancer theme going, I'm going to say 50-50.
Oh, super underrated. Okay.
Oh, so good.
And that also plays into the Madison and Gabriel
malignant
aspect
theme
of it all too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with another great horror comedy that doesn't make itself very self-aware in its comedic tones, but it's from last year, and it was a really good movie.
If you say fucking Knock at the Cabin, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
Barbarian.
Oh, okay.
I think that Barbarian was a great movie.
Yes.
I don't think it's as great as everyone made it out to be, but it's still a very good movie, and I had a lot of fun with it. And man, that was a movie I saw in the theater, just me and Priscilla alone in the theater, and boy, did we have a fun time.
Yeah.
Man, that was a great time.
Oh, see, I saw Barbarian in a packed theater, and it was amazing.
That's awesome.
See, my theater was dead silent through
That's
Barbarian.
The worst.
It was so weird.
That is odd for that movie.
I mean,
yeah.
In that instance, do you just, like... Do you be the one sole voice that's like, ha ha, what do you do in that situation?
Hova.
Oh, shit, this thing crazy.
You get and brush your shoulders off, Barbarian.
Fellas, do we recommend Malignant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I have to ask, why are you yelling at me?
If you don't like this movie, I will throw a fucking chair at you.
Yeah, this movie is wild.
This was such a treat
yes.
to end the season on. Like, a movie that I just truly, truly adore.
Like all the other episodes this season were the main course. This is our dessert.
Yes.
This is what we saved this for last.
This is the s'mores.
This is our s'mores.
Oh, we were eating good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to die right after this, just like in the menu.
Yeah, this is such a refreshing horror movie mm-hmm. from someone that's already given us a lot of great ones, too.
Yes.
Like, you may like James Wan or you may not, but you have to admit, this dude is consistent and he is always kind of like reinventing the genre a little bit. Like, I know no one likes this comparison, but he kind of is our generation's John Carpenter.
Bold.
Interesting.
He makes low budget genre films that are very much his style. And like, I know like people call Jordan Peele that, and Jordan Peele completely rebuffed that idea because of course there is only one John Carpenter. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But if we had to pick one, I think James Wan might be it.
Look, all I'll say is every time I see his name attached to a project, I make time for it.
Right.
I know that it's going to be something I fuck with, and that's so rare.
Yeah. It's almost an auteur style, but it's much more collaborative.
It's a seal of quality for me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think this movie's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's his best, but it's certainly the most entertaining, for sure.
I love it.
I mean, it's no Aquaman.
A movie I still have not seen.
Aquaman's really fun.
Okay.
It's not good,
okay.
But I had a really great time with it.
Well, if you've got some thoughts on the movie Malignant, so we want to hear them, you can email them to us at thesilverliningsplaylist@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't already, give us a follow on those two platforms, as well as on TikTok, where you can watch clips from the show, some highlights and behind the scenes, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, leave some feedback. We would really appreciate that, especially with this being the final episode of the season. Until we come back for season 7, we really could use those ratings, that feedback, because it lets other people find us more easily. The algorithm shows up for other people that way.
Yeah.
If you haven't already, follow us on Reddit as well. Check out our subreddit, reddit.com/r/silverliningsplaylist. And in the downtime, in the hiatus, you know, tell your friends and family about the show. Listen to old episodes if you want. We got 156 back catalog episodes, not including the bonuses.
God, we've wasted a lot of time.
So much time. So much time wasted. And yeah, fellas, that puts an end to season 6 of the Silver Linings Playlist.
Crazy.
We did it.
Thank God, honestly.
Not different than any other season, but this was a great season. Like,
yeah,
we had
I agree.
Some moments.
Had a blast.
Yeah, I mean, I was only here for half the episode, so I had fun.
I know, right? Yeah, no, I got nothing but positive things to say. And then, you know, the putting our show up on TikTok really changed the game.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you to everyone who's been checking us out on there.
Yeah.
I'm sure it has no correlation with how big we are in China all of a sudden.
Probably not. But no, lots of fan interaction that I really appreciate.
Yeah.
And actually, thanks to the people that emailed me with some suggestions for movies we should cover. I'm putting them on the docket for next season.
Definitely.
So season 7, you won't want to miss it. We don't have a date, obviously, set in mind for that just yet. I would say probably late 2023, if I had to guess.
Uh-huh.
But we'll see. Who knows? Definitely not anytime sooner, probably.
No,
but
I need a break from you assholes.
I definitely need a break as well.
Like, you guys are my Gabriels. I'm just going to put you in the back of my head for a bit, you know?
Yeah, no, thank you both for a great season, and thank you, audience member, for checking us out, and hopefully you stick with us when we come back for season 7, 26 more fantastic episodes, such as Malignant, and yeah, job well done, fellas.
Can we just do like a writer's strike season where we only do 13 episodes or something?
Sure.
That'll be a load off my back, for sure. All right. Well, is there anything we want to say either about Malignant for one last time or about the show in general? Anything at all? I guess maybe things to look out for. Mally, I don't know if you can talk about the stuff you're working on.
Nope.
Or Nathan, you either, actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then I won't.
Oh, I mean, if you can, go for it. But I assumed you could.
Check out Oh, That's a Scary Movie, the show I do with past and future guest Ashley McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. Go listen to For New Eyes Only, my James Bond recap retrospective podcast that's on the VHS Files I feed on both on podcast platforms and YouTube, and the AIPT Comics podcast. Right. We interview creators and review our favorite comics of the week.
Right.
How do you get anything done with all that fucking
I don't. Shit going on, I hate myself.
Well, he does this during the day, and at night, Gabriel walks around and does other things.
Ah, right. Got it.
Mally, you got anything you want to plug?
Not that I can legally discuss on air.
I figured.
I would like to think that by the time this episode comes out, it won't be out now, but hopefully mine and Nathan's band, The Fever the Rage, will have our debut album out, before season 7 gets here, but we'll see.
That's a good, I think that's a fair.
Oh, there actually is one thing I can plug that's up and coming.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'm doing a spinoff podcast called The Fever the Rage, where I review one song off their debut album a week.
Oh no.
So look out for that.
This would be a nightmare.
Dropping sometime after their album comes out, boy.
A minute by minute kind of thing, I guess for a song, second by second,
like a Star Wars minute.
Yeah, yeah. just one song a week. Each episode is 4.5 hours long.
Oh boy,
can't wait to hear it. So check that out on your local podcasting platform.
Yeah,
The Hater, The Rage.
All right, well. That's it from us. And like I said, enjoy our back catalog and stay subscribed because who knows, there may be a bonus episode. I've been trying to talk these guys into a bonus episode.
I'm down.
We've been talking about doing bonus episodes since the end of season 1 and we have yet to do it.
I know. So I got one planned. We'll see when time allows for us to do that.
Okay. But, I mean, you always talk about doing live watches of the movies. I tried to do one in this episode and you fuckers talk through the whole damn thing. I didn't even get to finish the movie.
Next time, baby.
Next time. There's always next time. Well, until season 7, whenever that is, probably later this year, but we'll find out. Until then, rest in peace, Oatmeal. And as always,
I'm adopted.
Malignant.
Ah, fuck a chair.
Excelsior.
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 Excelsior. Oh. Look it up.